This is a sermon that God also speaks to me, and I hope that as I'm going to share to you, in one way or another, you will also be encouraged. So if you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to the book of Exodus. I want to read to you from chapter 23, from verse 27 to verse 30, and I would like to read to you from the King James Version. Okay, I mean, just now we had a good laugh. Okay, to tang become ta tong. Alright, I think that is Pastor Tony's recipe, alright? Okay, so try to patronize the melting pot. Do try, okay, this Taiwanese green chili. It's a very, very, okay, when you hear green chili, wow, it must be very kahang. It's not the spiciness. It's a very mild, very nice spiciness, okay? And this recipe is concocted by me. Actually, by right, I should make it into a soup, but I decided to just try my own recipe once. And that whole bottle of green chili was purchased in Taiwan. And it is solely produced by only this place. You cannot buy in another place except in this city called Hualien. So when we were there, we bought 5 bottles, okay? And just want to share that new recipe. Just try, it's a chicken fillet, okay? It's very, very nice. All right, and also meatballs, okay? This is a request by Elder Winston. He loves meatballs. So I made meatball soup together with a seaweed soup, okay? So just drink it, all right? It's also a comfort food for you. All right, this is not my sermon, okay? Exodus 23, verse 27 to 30. It says here in verse 27, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Father, I want to commit today's message to your hands. Hide me behind the cross. I'm worthy, O Lord, to share. Only the worthiness of Jesus is the one that makes me worthy. So Holy Spirit, you take over the entire service, quickening the word of God to many hearts today. Encourage us and strengthen our spirit, man. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Little by little. We hate these words, especially when it comes to our success, wealth, career development, character formation, answered prayers, and victory. We want all these things to be done or to be given instantly. Our common malady is impatience. And as such, we always run ahead of God and jeopardize the whole plan of God for our life. Our key text today, there, God explains that a good thing at the wrong time is no longer a good thing. So this morning, I would like to share a sermon to all of you entitled Little by Little. And my outline will be as follows. First, I would like to give you the background of our key text. Secondly, I would like to share why little by little. Thirdly, what are the good things that come about little by little? And of course, in the Christocentric approach or the Christ-centric link, I will refer your attention to the ultimate good thing that came about little by little, which is Jesus. First, let's look at our background. In our key text, God promised to drive out the Israelites' enemies so they could take possession of the land. This was a good thing. However, God explained that they will have to settle the land slowly, gradually. If God cleared out their enemies all at once, the land will become a wasteland filled with dangerous wild animals. To the Israelites, the thought of waiting was very discouraging. You see, for 40 years, they've been wandering in the desert without a permanent home since God delivered them from the slavery in Egypt. The promised land was so close, they could taste it. But right now, God said, no. You will go in, but I will not help you to conquer it within 1 year. So if they did not accept the gradual process of God driving out their enemies one by one, they will not be able to enjoy the land. They will not be able to thrive there for generations to come. And today, brothers and sisters, we may look at the Israelites and judge their impatience. But let me tell you, we are just like them. Just as the Israelites desired a permanent home immediately, kita tenang. We often want solutions from God immediately. We want a better job now. We want to be healed now. We want to be married now. We want to have children now. And though it sometimes frustrates us, God often works in our life little by little. God clears things out little by little, though we might prefer it all at once. But God wanted Israel to have increased in the process of taking the promised land. He wanted them to grow. And brothers and sisters, this is a lesson. God cares that we grow. And oftentimes, He grows us little by little. Let me give you an illustration of the harvest. A plentiful harvest does not happen by accident. A farmer spends a lot of time fertilizing the soil, tilling, planting, watering the seeds and plants. But perhaps the most important factor a farmer considers is the timing. No matter how well he cares for his crops, if they are planted too late or too early, they will not thrive. Brothers and sisters, often our immediate solution is like planting crops in January. You know that in the Philippines, rice planting season starts in April to August. So if you start planting rice in January, that's the wrong timing. And no matter how good our solution seems, if it's not the right timing, it will never benefit us in the long run. Timing is important. A good thing at the wrong time is no longer a good thing. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible teaches us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This means that in the midst of our discontentment, in the midst of our impatience, we can trust God to work things out for our good, even when we don't like His timing, even when we don't understand His timing. So today, ask ourselves, why is it so hard to trust that God's timing is better than yours? And today, ask yourself, what is that one issue you are facing today that you would like God to solve immediately? What can God teach you while you wait for His perfect timing? A Bible commentator says this, God crumples His mercies to us. We have His blessings by retail, not wholesale. One whole shot, God bless you. No, God bless us by retail, bit by bit. So the cloud empties not itself at a sudden burst, but dissolves upon the earth, drop by drop, little by little. Second point, why little by little? Verse 29 says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. So after you have entered into the land of Canaan, okay, you are there, atotona, kamo, pero within 1 year, I still will not help you to conquer the land. I will not drive out all your enemies. I will not kill them within 1 year. The phrase, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Apparently, at the first read, it seems as if like the divine action is slack. As some men count slackness, you will notice that the divine action of God proclaiming, I will not drive out your enemies in 1 year, it seems as if like the divine action of God is not hasty, not spasmodic, that means not sporadic, irregular, not precipitate, that means not quickened. Unlike our human actions are always very hasty. And do you know, it is the sickness of man to be very impatient. On the other hand, our God is strangely and wonderfully patient. He will not drive out the Canaanites nation all at once. Why? There are three reasons. Two are given in our key text. One is given in the book of Judges. The first reason in our key text, okay, is found in verse 29, part B. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. Okay, so the very first reason why God adopts the little by little principle is lest the land should become desolate. There will be an insufficient population to keep down the weeds, till the land, and maintain the big land. And an unkept land will become a desolate land, or a wasteland. I can only think of a few practical examples to illustrate this point. Example number one, when good things are given too quickly to any of us, our life will become desolate. The word desolate here, in our key text here, can also mean a wastrel. A wastrel is referring to a wasteful and spendthrift person. I want you to look at a child, a bataa, who suddenly becomes a billionaire overnight because both parents died suddenly and all the massive wealth and inheritance of the parents is given to this little child. The land of wealth is too big for him to match, okay, his so-called youth or his inability to mature overnight. Imagine billions of dollars is passed to this six-year-old kid. He has yet to mature in his character. So at a very young age, when he gets to inherit such a massive inheritance, he will not be able to conquer his inner demon. And so he will not appreciate, you know, the hard work of his parents by storing up all this wealth for him, and therefore he will waste his life and the parents' money. This is a true story. In Singapore, there is this grandson of a rich billionaire. Literally, I can say he's born with a silver spoon. What does he do in his spare time? It's reported that often he will drive his Porsche and drive it into the wall of the garage to crash the Porsche. Not because he's drunk, not because he is on drugs. No, it's just that he's bored and he has the thrill of destroying such an expensive car. I hope you do know that Porsche is one of the most expensive cars in the world. And he just crashed it, not because he doesn't know how to drive, but for the fun of it. Another man I would like to share is this guy, I believe you heard it in the news, and that's Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is the 10th richest man in the whole world. He's famed for being an American businessman, investor, and philanthropist. And today, he's worth $122 billion. He has pledged to give away 99% of his fortune to philanthropic causes. He told Fortune magazine in 1986 that he will leave his children enough money so that they will feel they could do anything, but not so much that they could do nothing. He maintains that his children won't be receiving an inheritance from his $122 billion fortune. He asked other rich parents in America to follow his lead and pledge at least 50% of their wealth to charity. Buffett added that this pledge of 99% to philanthropy will still leave his lifestyle untouched and that of his children as well, as according to him, they have already received significant sums for their personal use and will receive more in the future. I calculated, he gave away 99% of $122 billion, leaving only 1% for himself. I calculated, what is 1% of that $122 billion? It is $1 billion. Buffett understood the principle taught in our key text about the next generation becoming desolate or becoming a wastrel or a wasted life if too much inheritance is given within a short span of time. Proverbs 13:11 says it very well. Wealth hastily gotten will dwindle, but he who gathers little by little will increase it. Second reason, why little by little? And this is also found in our key text. Let's read again. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. The next reason, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. So the second reason, why little by little, is lest the beast of the field, that means wild animals, become too numerous for you. You see, when human population is lesser than the bigness of the land, wild beasts would multiply to become a danger to the newcomers. Let's look at the biblical example in 2 Kings 17:25. When the kingdom of Samaria, or when the northern kingdom of Israel, was depopulated by the removal of the 10 tribes by the Assyrian, there was a great increase of lions, which preyed upon the scanty remnant left. You see, the Assyrian king destroyed and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, took away, exiled all the population to the Assyrian countries, and left only the poor behind in this northern kingdom. So the population of the poor is so scanty. What happened? Lions start coming in. And even though the Assyrian king, you know, sent in other nations to come and populate the northern kingdom, it is still not enough. Not enough human population. So there was a great increase of lions, and they start, the wild beast started to kill the people there. Do you know, it is also true in our modern world today. Even in France, after the Franco-German War ended in 1871, a lot of people died in that war. And in France, it was found that in many, many districts, the wolves increased. Because I think, you know, of course in the war, when you fight, many, many people died. So the whole population dipped, and the wolves start, you know, infiltrating major districts of France in 1871. This is all, you know, past history. How about the recent history? Can you remember during the COVID global lockdown, many, many countries have to lock down globally, okay, in a macro scale. Many citizens were not allowed to come out. We had to stay at home. And what happened? The cities became vacant. And what do you see in the news? Wild animals start roaming the streets in Australia. The kangaroos start coming in. And I think in Japan, all the deers start roaming around, you know, the cities. And in some countries, bears, lions, and all this start coming in. Figuratively and spiritually speaking, this verse is warning us that when a blessing or a good thing comes to us too rapidly, wild beasts will invade our tagipusoon. Peter says that the devil, our adversary, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So when prosperity or a good thing comes to us too quickly, the devil prowls into our heart with pride, arrogance, and lust of all form. I remember in 1986 to 1988, we were renting 3 small function rooms from Amigo Hotel. We didn't have this building yet. So our church started in Amigo Hotel in 1986. From 86 to 88, 3 function rooms were always booked by Pastor Tony for the service, first and second service. But then, there was also this church run by a Filipino pastor who ran the big ballroom, bigger than the 3 little function room Pastor Tony rented. Every Sunday, their music would compete with our music. We both started the church almost at the same time. It means that church and our church, we started the church almost at the same time. And yet, Ia ngasi bahambala grew faster than ours. Within a short span of time, his whole church filled up the entire whole big ballroom of Amigo, whereas ours was just about 120 lang for 2 years. But then, lions of pride and arrogance entered this pastor's heart due to the rapid church growth. And during the height of his church growth, he secretly committed adultery with 3 women in his church. And one of them is the relative of his wife that stayed with him in his house. And when his sins were found out, his church split into 3 factions. Until today, he's still deluded into thinking he's a very successful mega church pastor, still gloating and basking in his old glory days, despite the persistent faction and disunity in his current churches. So I was saying to myself, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you caused ETAP to grow little by little and not overnight. If not, the lions will ravage our deceitful hearts and destroy our ministry. So brothers and sisters, do not be envious of the shooting stars who keep shouting out in the Facebook to provoke envy from other churches. They will only last a short while, like a shooting star. It goes up, after that, it disappears. And the next thing you will hear is some scandalous lions that have invaded their personal lives. The third reason why God said little by little, and this is not found in our key text, but it's found in Judges. The Lord led those nations deliberately without driving them out hastily, that through them he might prove Israel whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk therein or not. So the third reason was to test them. To test them. So God sometimes refused to answer your prayer immediately. You know, all at once is actually to test your heart. What is your salvation based on? Is answered prayer becoming your functional salvation? Meaning to say that if God does not answer your prayer, then you won't believe in Jesus anymore. That means to say your heart always treats Jesus like a Santa Claus. So God purposely sometimes delay is to test your heart. Who is the idol? Who is the main king of your life? Is it Jesus, or is it answered prayer, or is it your wish or your will? Now, let's look at Rome. There's a proverb that says that Rome was not built in a day. It's true. Little by little, did a city called Rome grew from a wilderness camp to a great metropolis. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, just like the great city, we should also note that the Bible came together over many years from many inspired writers as God completed his revelation to men little by little. And according to Isaiah 28:10, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. The 66 books of Revelation did not come, was not downloaded to all the different writers of the Bible all at one shot. It came at different periods of the time, to different people, at different instances, at different point of time. A little here, a little there. Precept upon precept upon precept. Little by little is often the way of the Lord. Number three, what are the good things that come to us little by little? While bad things tend to happen quickly and abruptly, like a car crash or a stock market crash, good things usually come about little by little. So what are the good things that come to us little by little? Number one, the land from God. What do you mean when you read about the land of Canaan? What does the land from God mean to us today? Number one, it could literally mean a literal land. Like Israel, when God promised them the land of Canaan, it's a literal land which amounts to the literal geographical Israel today. It's a literal land because they were wanderers. So God wants them to settle in this place called the land of Canaan, which is equivalent to our modern Israel. The geographical existence of the land is literal. Now, when God says he wants to give you the land of Canaan, it also refers to the ultimate heaven, the kingdom of heaven. There is a heavenly place, a heavenly land. It's called the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but that is our ultimate reward, our ultimate inheritance. The land from God could also mean God's destiny for you now. God has a plan, God's final plan for you. God's ultimate plan for you while you're living now. God's calling, God's destiny for you. So the land could also refer to God's calling, God's destiny, God's ultimate plan for you while you are here as a Cristiano. The land of God could also refer to your full potential being maximized by God. So here, let's go back to our key text where God chose to push the Canaanites out of a literal land, little by little. You see, God rescued the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. He brought them out through great miracles. And then he gave them the laws in Sinai. But at this point in Exodus, the Israelites are still wandering in the desert and are not yet in possession of the promised land. So the promised land will come to them little by little. All right? And you already know, as I shared to you just now, why little by little? Because God didn't want, okay, the land to be desolate. God didn't want the wild animals to attack them. But there's a third reason why God wants them to get the land little by little, because God is trying to help the Israelites not to, you know, enter into more problems by having to replant the grapevines or the olive trees or to rebuild crumbling house. So if God never promised them or instruct them little by little, and God asked them to go and attack, you know, the Canaanites' enemies at once. So in war, whenever there's war, you will destroy all the houses. You will uproot all the vine trees. You will uproot all, okay, the olive trees. But then that's not the land that God wanted to give to Israel. God said, I will send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. A land where you don't have to build houses. A land where you don't have to plant the grape vineyard or even the olive tree. It will be given to you, handed on to you on the platter. So God prevented a war because God didn't want all these grape vines and olive trees and houses to be destroyed. So God wanted Israel gradually to increase, to grow first, to grow in their population first, to grow in their relationship with Him first. And after they have increased in population and in strength and in might and in the knowledge of Yahweh, then that's the time God will give them the entire land. Can you understand the principle of God now? Okay? I believe God could have conquered the land in one fell swoop, for nothing is impossible for God. God could have used miracles as He had done before. God could have sent fire or hail or locusts just as He did to Egypt to destroy the entire land of Canaan. But God didn't choose, you know, to conquer it in a quick way. Why? Because there is a danger in too much success coming too quickly. The people might forget that they have to depend on God. They might begin to think too much of their own greatness. They might fall into the worship of foreign gods. So God gives them the victory little by little. The land from God. It could refer to a literal land that God promised you. It could refer to your destiny here while you're here. It could refer to your potential. Your potential is maximized by God little by little and not all at once. I want to be very honest with you to give you the history of this land. This Tabok Subat land was originally purchased in 1995 by my sister. She purchased this land for business so that in the future she could sell away this land with a profit. Unfortunately, in 1997, due to a global economic crisis, my sister wanted to sell away this land in order to get her capital back. But no one wanted to buy this land. And so Pastor Tony foolishly decided to buy this land from her for ETAP, hoping our sending church would take over the purchase and help us to build a literal church for ETAP. Unfortunately, the sending church was very offended that we closed this deal without asking them permission first. And so this land sat idle from 1995 until 2011. During this time, the sending church asked us to sell away this Tabok Subat land and return the money to my sister. We obeyed. We engaged a realtor who is very sagat in selling the land of the Haishendos and the Haishendas. But after advertising our land, there was still no taker. And one day, around year 2000 plus, God spoke to me to reclaim His promise of ETAP. Therefore, in year 2011, I wrote to Singapore to plead for this land to be returned to ETAP because it is lying idle here. They reluctantly and insincerely agreed. And alongside with this agreement was great anger, distrust, and accusation. To cut the story short, God did not allow us to possess this land for ETAP. God purposely did not allow our sending church to say a yes to us during the 1990s. Why? Because during the 1990s, especially the late 1990s, our church was doing very well. Our church growth chart was going upward. Church planting under Pastor Tony was also doing very, very well, going upward. And to add to our fame, we also planned Shake the Nation so well that we were pretty famous, especially Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony was pretty famous among many, many regions. And at the same time, in 1995, the revival from Rodney Howard Brown hit our church and also the Penai Island. So had God allowed us at that time in the late 1990s to possess this Tabuk Subat land, the lion of pride and arrogance would have devoured both of us, and we would have thought that it is our own ability and capability that had gotten us this land. Therefore, God allowed us to be ousted from Singapore in 2012 and left with nothing. No backer, no denominational covering, no salaries. Yet God challenged me to push the move of this church from the rented building in Kaizong to Tabuk Subak in the height of slanders, character assassination, unrest from within and without, and in the midst of financial bankruptcy. All funds that were put in our region were suddenly transferred from Iloilo to Cebu. But today, I ask and I chart the past. How many years in waiting were we for this literal land to be given to us to eat at, according to God's promise to us as senior pastor? I calculated 17 years. When was it given? When? The timing is important. When? Not at the height of our success. Not at the height of our popularity. Not at the height of our church growth. It was at the height of our shame. It was at the height of our weakness. It was at the height of our financial bankruptcy. Therefore, this verse means a lot to me. It's not by power. That means the power. In a powerful missionary, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit. Amen. Hallelujah! Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Why? Why 17 years? And given at the lousiest time, given at the most uninviting time, given at the most humiliating time, given at the most, the weakest time of our life. It's the process. It's the process. When you go through a hard process, you will enjoy the fruit. Amen? Amen. But when you, instant promotion, like acceleration, you just want to reach the destination, you don't see the scenery, you cannot enjoy the process. You cannot enjoy your destination. But along the journey, along the process, when you go through a lot of turmoil, a lot of hardship, a lot of death, a lot of, you know, denial, when the blessing finally comes, you appreciate it. Today, I want to tell you, I appreciate God for this Tabuk Subak land a lot, a lot. Every morning, we have to report to work. Every morning when Pastor Tony drives down the pickup, down the slope, there's never one morning you fail to hear me exclaim to God, wow, I can sense the serenity in this land. Especially with the five luxurious and beautiful pine trees greeting me in the front. It is God. But it was given to us 17 years later, after the promise was given to me. Little by little, through much conquest by the children of Israel under Joshua. Scholars say that it took Joshua 7 years to conquer the land of Canaan. But if you want to talk about the possession of the entire land of Canaan, then you cannot just, you know, keep your reading to Joshua. You have to include the book of Judges. So you want to include the possession of the entire land of Canaan, all the calculation, it is actually a total of 38 years and 32 days. The Bible says in Joshua 11, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. It's not at once that they get to possess their inheritance. It's little by little. What is the land that God has promised you? Is it a literal land or a figurative land? And today, if you have not seen the land, and the enemies wants you to get rid of the inheritance, if the land is really destined by God for you, it will never be sold. Today, we are here. Yesterday, my devo, I was very, very touched. My whole devo was on Psalms 37, and God is telling me about this land. So many things, I have not seen it. I underline with different colors, write down in so many devos, record, because God is instructing me more of His revelation and His will for this land. What is the good things, the second one, that will come to you little by little? Number two, the faith from God. In this method, we see something of God's way. We are not to expect always a sudden victory over our enemies, over our sin, over our struggles in life, over our flesh. But we see that God often works little by little. When I say that the faith from God is the second thing, or the second good thing that God gives to us little by little, I am not talking about mountain-moving faith. I am not talking about the gift of faith mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:9, which is a sudden surge of patuo by the Espiritu Santo sa tagipuso naton. When you have the gift of faith, the charismatic gift of faith, like prophecy, is a sudden, you know, download of faith, or a sudden surge of belief, courageous belief in God to move the mountains, or to see the impossibility become a possibility. I'm not talking about this kind of faith that comes to us little by little. Because the gift of faith, or the mountain-moving faith, comes to us one time, one shot, suddenly, and that's it, it's gone. But the faith from God that I'm talking about, that God wants us to inherit from Him little by little, is what I call the daily and living faith, like the mustard seed. It's the mustard seed faith I'm referring to. Mustard seed, anona. We have mustard powder, we do not know how what it is. But there is such a thing as mustard seed. Can we show an image of the mustard seed? This is mustard seed. You see, that's one teaspoon. And it's very, very small. Very small. Like the mustard seed, our faith starts off very small and insignificant. But as we continue to read the Bible, as we continue to learn to pray, as we continue to listen to the Sunday sermon, as we continue to exercise it in our trials and affliction, it starts to grow and grow until one day it becomes a big tree providing shade to others. This is the big tree. This is the full-grown mustard tree. Our Christian faith is the same as the seed. Slowly, slowly growing little by little until it becomes a tree. Our Christian faith, the mustard seed faith, grows little by little. Therefore, brothers and sisters, don't underestimate your Sunday church attendance. Every Sunday, little by little you come. Every Sunday you sit here, week by week, month by month, you listen to the sermon. Nothing is happening, no. Bible says in Romans, faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Amen. Every Sunday, even though you come to church, it seems so insignificant. Yet when you sit here and you listen to the word, what happened? Faith comes to you. Amen. Little by little, week after week, week after week, then month after month, then after that, year after year. And then soon, after the end of, let's say, 5 years, you look back, wow! Suddenly realize that your faith in God is no more like those times 5 years ago when you were just newly born again. You realize that your faith level has grown, whereby you can trust God more implicitly, and subsequently you begin to see more victories from God coming upon your life, because the Bible promised, according to your faith, it shall be done. So when your faith level is this low, this is how much God will answer your prayer. But as you grow and let your faith grow higher and higher, more and more, and become so high, then according to this level, you have more dimension of victories coming into your life. According to your faith, it shall be done. But the faith level is increased little by little. The Christian life is hard work. While revival is often immediate, there is still no sudden ability to know everything of God's revelation. We still need to study and make the Word of God our passion. So those walker and walkie, God bless you. God bless those walker who is willing to take the time to call or to visit you. May I read one chapter of John to you. God bless you. And I bless, may God bless the walkie. You say, okay, I receive, I'm willing to let you read with me, or I read with you, I'm willing. You are receiving Jesus, the living Word of God, into your life. And faith will grow. Because as you continue to read, knowledge will be imputed into your system. The Word of God, you know, will come into your life, and the Word of God is the source of your patuo. And once your patuo grow and grow and higher, that's where you get more and more answered prayer. There's encouragement in walking steadfastly, little by little. In living the Christian life, little by little, we give testimony of our faith to our children and to our neighbors as we come to church every Sunday. And little by little, we see conversion. Little by little, the faith from God grows in us. We should not be discouraged that either ourselves or our actions are small, for God often works through small ways. And though we may be little people, God is still strong, and we can depend on the Lord. For many, many years, I always felt very inferior. I refused to talk about my family to people that I do not know. Whereas Pastor Tony would always, to strangers, would always give the testimony about how when he decided, you know, to put his hand on the plow and turn back, okay, on his secular job, being the only, you know, breadwinner of the family as a university graduate, I always felt very ashamed to share anything about my family. And then Pastor Tony would say, after he gave his life, 2 to 3 years later, his entire family was born again, but mine wasn't. So I always had this, you know, doubt in me. Maybe God didn't love me. Maybe my family is beyond salvation. That was my thought. Pastor Tony's family, within 2 to 3 years, all and small, all became born again. My, oh my God, how many years? 5 years, voila. 7 years, voila. 10 years, voila. 15 years, voila. I think it was around, if I'm not wrong, on the 20th year, I begin to see the first salvation of my family, and that's my third brother. Then after that, it's followed by my mother. Then it's followed by all my nephews and nieces of my second brother. And then, last but not least, is my beloved sister, the one relative I love the most, which passed on in year 2021. How long? You chat. It's more than 25 years to 30 years. Why? Because if God were to answer the salvation of my family all at once, I would not have appreciated. And also, they are very strong people. They may not have stuck to the Lord or with the Lord. It's because of the little by little testimony, the little by little stories, every once in 2 years or 3 years that I go back and share with my sister, that her knowledge of God, her penchant for the church, her impression of the church begin to change from a caustic one to one that is very curious. You want to know more about God. And she's that one soul that I led to the Lord, crying with Pastor Tony. We have led many of you to the Lord. But normally when we lead you to the Lord, we never cry. But this one, you know, after I led her to the Lord, when I came down with all my baggage, because we are leaving soon, in the car, both of us just wept. We just wept. Because the impossible became possible. Through the little by little years of prayers, I fasted a lot for my family. 10 years full fast for my family. Every time when you see me full fast, in 2000 to 2011, you see me full fast. Always main agenda, salvation of my family, because I was traumatized by the sudden death of my dad without Christ. Little by little. The same with the struggle of your flesh. We do not gain victory over our flesh all at once. It is one area at a time. Little by little. When will the process of our victory over our flesh be complete? It will not be complete until we leave this body, until we see Jesus face to face. Verse 30 says, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Until we have increased in our faith, until we have increased in our humility, until we have increased in our intimacy with God, until we have increased in our knowledge in God, until we have increased in our walk with God, will we then be able to inherit the land by having victory over our flesh or over a certain long prayers that you have been interceding. So do not be discouraged if you are defeated by a present problem, sin or weaknesses. The goal definitely is victory. The destination definitely is victory. But do not just aim for the destination, but enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process of this battle. And this process often involves failures, defeat, and picking oneself up again, and then failure again. Up and down, up and down. Being a Christian, somebody say, is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby we grow little by little to be more and more like Christ. Number three, what is the third good thing that God will give it to you little by little? The promises from God. Amen. The people of Israel were to depend on the Lord, okay, for His promises. And in our key text, we find that the conquest of Canaan is not a wish, but a promise. It will happen because God has said so. It will happen because God has spoken. God says in verse 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you. In verse 31, and I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Philistia. Who will do this? God will. Again and again, you see the word, I will, I will, I will. In verse 27, I will send my fear before you. Verse 28, I will send hornets before you. Verse 30, I will drive them out from before you. And in verse 31, I will set your bounds from Red Sea to the sea, and I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. I will, I will. Who is the I? God, not you. And the promise of the promised land goes all the way back to Genesis 15, 18 to 21, where God made a promise with Abraham. And this promise, though many years later, God did not forget. God remembered His promise, rescued His people, and brought them to the promised land. And today I want to tell you in application, in Jesus Christ, Yahweh remembered His promise to you and to me. In Jesus Christ, Yahweh said, I will. Just as Israel was given success because of the work of God alone, so our salvation is because of the work of Jesus Christ alone. God has done it, and His promise is really fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And as God promises Israel victory over the Canaanites, so He promises us victory over our sins, little by little. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will sanctify us little by little. So whatever issues you're struggling with today, in your life, in your home, in your family, in your mind, keep working as the Lord promises victory little by little. But then you oppose. God, you cry, take away my pain now. Take away my sin now. Take away my problem now. Answer me now. But it is the Lord's will that's to be done, not your own will. And God has reasons in His plan for the sufferings that you need to endure now. Because little by little, you may be drawn towards Him, finding your comfort in Him. Little by little, you will learn to depend on Him in all things and not depending on yourself. We are to obey His voice as He calls us to battle sin. While justification is a one-time act of God in the death of Jesus Christ, sanctification occurs over time, little by little. Anong-ang sanctification. Sanctification is putting off the old habits and putting on the new habits. Replacing anger with patience. Replacing self-conceit with the spirit of listening. Replacing our former daily habits with times of prayer and reading the word. Little by little, God sanctifies us through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Today's message is a call to you and me to stay faithful in the little things. And in all things, it is a call to be faithful in church attendance. It's a call of God for us to be faithful in giving, in Bible reading, in prayer, evangelism, training up our children, in work, in trust in God. It is a call for us to be stalwart for the faith. Stalwart means steadfast person for the patuo. A call to patiently work for the Lord. Little by little, does the discipline of a child bring about maturity. And we can expect no less because we, in comparison to God, are like mere children, absolutely needing His discipline. Many of you are under the discipline of God. And God is teaching you. God is teaching you to suffer. God is teaching you to deny yourself little by little. Little by little, God promises that we will grow closer to Him, to be holy as He is holy, to one day be in a promised land of His eternal kingdom in heaven. Little by little, a person may hear the word of God in this place or in some other place. And perhaps they may not believe. But little by little, God is working on them so that one day they suddenly are changed and they can see the light and hear the word and come to faith in Jesus Christ. Next, let's look at the Christ-centric link. I want to point your attention now to the ultimate good thing that came to you and me little by little 2,000 years ago. Matthew 13:31 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it's the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The Jews expected Jesus to be their instant Messiah, delivering them from the oppressive Roman rule. But the kingdom of heaven does not work this way. It's by the little by little principle. Our Lord Jesus Christ came in like a mustard seed, small and significant. That Isaiah says that, you know, he has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So meaning to say, if you were to think of Jesus, Jesus was very unassuming. Yet the Bible tells us, little by little, Jesus grew up as a carpenter's son, increasing in wisdom. The word increasing is in aioris. You know, keep increasing little by little in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with men. Little by little, he preached the word of God from this town to that town to the other town. He taught in the synagogue, healed the sick. Little by little, God allowed him to develop from an infant born in a manger to a rabbi at the age of 30. His promised deliverance to Israel is little by little. He declares, Jesus declares in Mark 4:28, that the kingdom of God is like first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. So how did his promised deliverance come to Israel? It's little by little. First comes the Old Testament. Then John the Baptist to prepare the way. Then Jesus' obscure life. Then Jesus' public life. And like a mustard seed, he fell to the ground by dying at the cross so that he could resurrect as the greatest shrub and became, or rather become, a tree for all the birds of the air to come and make nests in its branch. From a smallest mustard seed to a big tree of salvation, Isaiah called that the tree of righteousness for this age and the age to come. Total promised deliverance will come for Israel after 6,000 years and not now. That is the principle of God's kingdom. So that Israel, his elected nation, will appreciate his ultimate deliverance and grow to worship and love him one day. The same for the church and the same for you and me. Our Jesus lived out the little by little kingdom principle in his revelation of himself, not only to the Jews, but also to the world. Had Jesus come immediately after the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, mankind today would never have known what it is to have a suffering Savior, living out our fallen life, atoning for every area of our sinful life. Jesus waited for 4,000 years to be over in Old Testament in order to appear in the New Testament. And today, we are in the church age. Today, we are in the last age. And today, the church has to wait for another 2,000 years for him to appear in glory to us. And while we are in this church age, hoping that this 2,000 will be consummated, he purposely delays his second coming. For what? So that your patuo can be solidified in him little by little while we keep evangelizing the world and the cities around us. Today, brothers and sisters, if the promised land, namely God's destiny for you, is delayed, or maybe today, ang patuo inyo is developing so slowly, or maybe today, some of you, the promise of God seems so slow, seems slack, then I ask you to look at the cross. Jesus had to die a slow death at the cross. He did not die immediately. I think he was crucified at 9 o'clock, right? He died at about 3. How many hours? I mean, my sister, when she was in cancer, she was so afraid. She was dragged, you know, this breathlessness for 3 to 6 years. She didn't want. She said, pray that your God will let me die immediately now. Now. She wanted a speedy death. Jesus, you know, when he was hung, he could have died immediately. Or he could have asked God to send 12 legions of angels to deliver him. But he did not. He chose a slow death. He endured the ebbing away of his breath. Imagine the amount of endurance Jesus had to bear under the torture of the nails. He underwent a slow death. For what? So that today, he can impart grace to you and me who are struggling with impatience and struggling with waiting. No matter how slow His promise seems to be unfolding to you or me, remember His death at the cross and resurrection have already made possible for all promises of God to you as amen, I will. Not you will, but God will. The slow death at the cross, the descent to hell, this is the process you and me have to reenact. We have to incarnate with Christ. Because after we have gone through this process of waiting, dying, suffering, enduring, we shall then rise to inherit the land, faith, and promises of God. That is what I call our resurrection. To the degree you can see the forbearance of Christ in his dying moment by not calling down the 12 legions of angels to deliver him, to that degree will you allow Christ to develop patience in you to wait, endure, and to change little by little. In conclusion, let us therefore be encouraged to wait on the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not over the one who prospers in his way, over the one who carries out evil devices. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Healing will come. Deliverance will come. Promises will be fulfilled. Wait. Wait for the Lord and you will not be disappointed. I remember as my closing testimony in 1986, Pastor Chua, our mission pastor at that time, visited our Iloilo work. And he was sharing with us about his Bible school classmate who planted a church in Baguio. And it took him 6 years to grow that church plant. Pastor Tony, upon hearing it, said secretly in his proud and naive heart, 6 years is too long for me. I will take only 3 years. Wow. God overthrew the arrogant resolve of Pastor Tony because in the end, it took ETAP 14 years from 1986 to 2000 to grow from 250 to 500. And another 11 years from the year 2000 to 2011 to hit 1000. Total how many years, church girl? 25 years. Then after the break, in 2012, ETAP dipped. We dipped from the 1000. Currently, we are 12 years in assistance after the break-off from the sending church. Today, we are now toiling to grow this church, little by little, to what God promised ETAP to be. There are two promises that's ringing in my mind for this church. Number one, God said that your people, and this was given in 2012 after the break, God told me for this church, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the HO foundation. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwelling. And that is found in Isaiah 58:12. There is the promise of rebuilding. Not only that, there's also the promise of repopulation. God says in Jeremiah, God promised me, I will multiply them and they shall not be few. Our church will not be few people. I will make them honor and they shall not be small. Our church will not be a small church, not because of my, fallen ambition or power to want to make this church big so I can be famous. No, it's a promise from God. Amen. Have we reached there yet? Voila, bah. So what are you going to do? Continue to wait, believe, and still work. Work patiently with anticipation. Little by little. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. I want all of you to stand up as we sing this song. And I know that last week I did not call for altar. I do not know how many of you today, you are tired of waiting. And you have given up hoping. You have given up believing. You have given up even, claiming what God has spoken to you maybe last year. Or for me, mine was 12 years ago. There are one or two promises that God gave even before 2012. And some of them are not even fulfilled yet. Like many of you, I want instant deliverance. I want instant fulfillment. I want instant healing. But that's not how God works. It's little by little. Are you going through this process called little by little and it irks you? And you need the grace of God. You need to see the endurance of Jesus on the cross so that God can give you the grace to endure. Maybe you need to come to that divine exchange where you give God your impatience and you take His enduring grace. To be crucified on the cross, go down, hit rock bottom first. Then you will see God rising you up. So today, if this message speaks to you in one way or another, and you want to take hold of the grace of God, to continue to endure and believe, and let your faith grow, and let the promises of God be fulfilled, and let your land to be possessed, come to the altar. Come. Thank you, Lord.